When it comes to buying a baseball bat, DeMarini just changed the game. Introducing Demo House, where you can step into the cage and hit the latest from DeMarini before you buy, because there's no substitute for hitting a real baseball or talking to people who know both bats and batting. Your demo time in the cage is free. Get the season started right. Visit your nearest Demo House today. Locations and full details can be found at DeMarini.com/Demo House. Welcome, everyone, to a Baseball America podcast of the college variety. Along with Aaron Fitt, I am John Manuel. Aaron, thank you so much for joining us live from where are you, Houston?
I'm in Houston at the Hyatt.
Okay, that sounds good. Well, we are going to talk a little college baseball in the top 25 on the podcast today, as we do every Monday here at baseballamerica.com. You can follow us, and we have close to 10,000 of you following on Twitter, twitter.com/baseballamerica. Obviously, people are joining in the discussion on our Facebook page. And you can send questions to us at podcast@baseballamerica.com. We have an email that we'll get to in today's show. But more than, as usual, we'll really go over the top 25, Aaron, that we just got out of the meeting and just decided on. And no change at the top, and actually very few changes in the top 10, Aaron. But let's focus on a few teams in the top 10. You had top-ranked Virginia lose a game on Friday to Wright State, but the Cavaliers blitzed Wright State the rest of the weekend and Dartmouth as well, and at 9-2 overall, we kept the Cavaliers at number one.
Yeah, and you know, we gave a little bit of thought to moving LSU up to number one. They are 11-0, and you know, a couple of decent wins against Pepperdine this weekend. Pepperdine's not great this year, but they're not bad. They're not terrible. But those are really their two only quality wins this year, and they don't have anything in their resume that matches what Virginia did in the first weekend when it went on the road and won a series at a good East Carolina team. So. Virginia, yeah, they had a disappointing loss on Friday, but you know, we didn't think that they deserved to move out of the top spot after a 3-1 week.
Agreed. That's how I felt about it. We kept the Texas Longhorns at three. You just saw the Longhorns this weekend in Houston, live and in the flesh. Obviously, we'll have more about that. If you missed it, it's all on the college blog or on the Twitter feed, but obviously, we'll have a little bit more about that in Three Strikes later today. But it sounds like Texas feeling pretty good about Chance Ruffin in the bullpen too, Aaron. I know he blew a game in the New Mexico series, but it seems like he's pitching pretty well since then.
Yeah, he is, and he's bringing the velocity back there in that closer role. He can just rear back and run it up to 94, and he's got the cutter. And, I mean, you know, the couple of scouts I talked to said they'd like to see him throw more fastballs and less breaking balls, but maybe that's just college baseball right there. But, you know, he's a good fit in that role. I mean, their pitching is just filthy. I mean, it's as good as advertised. It's so deep, and, you know, Taylor Youngman is the real deal, John. If you didn't know that already, he was just outstanding against Rice. This team, you know, there is still some question about their hitting. I'm not nearly as worried about it, however. I mean, you know, it's not going to be an explosive offense, but we knew it wouldn't be. They're definitely going to score enough runs to win a lot of games, though.
Yeah, and Kevin Key seems like he hit the ball this weekend, scalded the ball a few times. Russ Moldenauer is not waiting till Omaha to hit home runs, so they've got enough offense. I guess the other thing is, you know, or you have to, if you're Texas and you're a Texas fan, you assume that your team also is going to be able to skill it up when they need to. But I do think it's interesting that you posted that there were a couple times this weekend where they didn't skill it up. They didn't automatically bunt.
So, you know, there was one instance in particular that I was just shocked by. I believe it was in the loss to Houston on Saturday. They're down a run in the ninth inning. They've got first and second and nobody out. You've got to bunt there, especially if you're Augie Garrido and you tell people that you bunt Babe Ruth.
That's right.
But not Kevin Keyes. I don't understand. I mean, he tried to get one down on the first pitch and couldn't. And so Augie just had him swing away. I mean, if the guy can't bunt, put in somebody who can. You've got to bunt in that situation.
Yeah, that's very surprising. And like you said, he bunts everybody. So the fact that they didn't execute in that situation, well, they lost the game. So,
yep.
But obviously they gave up seven runs in three games against Rice, Houston, and Missouri, three quality opponents. What was your impression of the unranked teams in that event, Aaron? Houston and Missouri in particular. Well, they had a couple favorites already on that Houston team, and then Missouri, maybe give your impressions a little bit about the Tigers trying to extend their regional streak to eight straight years.
Yeah, you know, I think Houston certainly was the biggest surprise of the weekend because they hadn't played well at all coming into this thing, and for them to go 3-0 and beat three Big 12 teams – That was the statement for sure. They, they had kind of a come to Jesus meeting, I guess, with Rainer Noble earlier this week after they lost to Rice in a pretty just an uninspiring effort. And the team really responded to that, and they got good pitching the first 2 days from Michael Goodnight and Good Luck and Chase Dempsey. And they've got some arms in the bullpen. Of course, I love Blake Kelso, the shortstop. He's just an exciting player.
I know now. I didn't know before, but now I know.
Anyone who read the Twitter feed would know.
That's right. And and they also have MP Red, MP Kokinos, one of my favorite names in college baseball. So,
but that said, I've chatted with scouts, and they're not sold on Houston yet. They still don't think they're that great.
Well, they're 5-5. I mean, they got swept at home by Texas State to open the season, and Texas State's good, one of the favorites in the Southland Conference. But, that might be a season-saving win for Houston. The one thing that the Cougars are doing this year that they've consistently done under Rainer Noble, and you have to, I think, give the program a lot of credit for this, they will play anybody at any time, and they will go on the road. So now they're starting a West Coast trip. They'll be at Cal Poly, at San Francisco, at Cal, at Arizona State to tune up for Conference USA. And that is a tough stretch. And then, of course, their second series in Conference USA will be at Rice. So, they also have to go to Southern Miss on the road. They also have to go to East Carolina. So their schedule really does them no favors.
Yeah.
But they are a team that has gotten into the tournament before just barely by the skin of their teeth because of the strength of schedule over the years. And that's been a consistent feature of that program. And it looks like this weekend, if they can right the ship as they did this weekend and play consistently, this weekend is going to go a long way to getting them into the NCAA tournament, I think, when you sweep a weekend like this with a lot of eyes watching. The next two teams in our ranking, Aaron, were both ACC teams, and they're both off to just amazing starts. Georgia Tech with one clunker of a game all year, the Sunday game against Xavier, which went to regionals last year. So not a terrible loss, certainly not a good loss. And then Florida State, which is just the only analogy I can think of, actually, Aaron, is that my 1999 Diamond Mine team is leading the 1999 Retro League through 68 games, both in scoring and in runs, fewest runs allowed. And that's what Florida State's playing, like 12.5 runs per game for the Seminoles. And they just annihilated Georgia this weekend. They've only had one game all year where they did not score in double digits, and that was a 9-2 win on Saturday. And we know Georgia was a little crippled coming in because of their injuries to their infield, but what a performance by the Seminoles.
And I'll tell you what, Georgia may have been crippled in the middle infield, but they still got all kinds of big arms over there.
That's right.
State just knocked them silly. I mean, Florida State, what can you say? I mean, they're just a juggernaut right now. We knew they were going to be very offensive. They've got so much back, with the three guys who were All-Americans last year, Cardullo and Holt and Mike McGee. Mike McGee hasn't even really gotten going, but other guys have picked up the slack. I mean, Justin Gonzalez has been a real surprise for them at second base.
Yeah, he's been outstanding.
James Ramsey and Sherman Johnson, those two sophomores, have taken those leaps forward like so many players at Florida State do. I mean, that program, they hit every year, and doggone it, John, they're just an incredibly well-coached team.
You're talking too fast, though.
Good pitching. I mean, they're really dangerous.
You're really talking too fast if we're going to do a Mike Martin impersonation. But
you're right.
But they have been Stuart Tapley's a guy who's been there for years. I believe he's a guy that we've gotten some emails about that we don't respect him enough. He is not a pro guy. When you're 5'10", 204, it's not really a pro body.
And he's not a really good defender even for a college player. That's why they've been mostly DHing him this year.
But that guy can really hit.
Yes, he can.
He can really hit. And the thing is, that team always hits at Dick Houser Stadium in their ballpark. They almost always hit. But that guy's pretty good and as a college hitter. And, they've gotten their most highly touted freshman was Jace Boyd. They can hit him in the nine hole, and he's produced. I guess the big question for us the last few years, really, Aaron, has been just Florida State. We always know they're going to hit. And I would also submit that Tyler Holt hasn't really gotten going this year. And he's had a couple off games. But I mean, like
405, though.
I know. But I mean, like the big thing with them is, do they defend enough, and will they pitch enough? Right now, they're definitely pitching enough. Do you have any reports yet on their defense? And what do you think about their rotation beyond their ace, their sophomore ace, Sean Gilmartin, who matches up really with anybody.
You know, I do think that the one lingering question I have with this team is the defense. I still think there's some question marks on the field. The left side of the infield. I mean, Cardugo did a good job last year stabilizing that thing, but he's not a great shortstop. I mean, he doesn't have tons of range or big arm. He's just a solid guy. And he's prone to make some errors, although he's been pretty good this year. There are still some questions in that infield. There's no question about that. But, I like him on the mound. I mean, besides Gil Martin, you've got John Gast, who's taken that jump forward this year. He's fully healthy, and he's throwing hard, and he's got a little changeup going now. He's just a lot better than he was his first 2 years. And the key, I think, is Jeff Parker. I mean, he's the guy that Mike Martin wants to be the Sunday guy. Hasn't pitched very well so far. He's got a 6.08 ERA. And then this is the staff that has a 2.5 ERA as a team. So, I mean, he's one of the few guys who's struggled. But they need him to get going. That's the other question mark, I guess, with Florida State. Neither of those things, I think, are big question marks because they're a pretty good balanced team all the way around.
Who's their moment of truth reliever? Who's their ace guy in the bullpen who's gonna, or who do you think their guy will be? Will it be Brian Bush when the push comes to shove this year?
I think it could be. Yeah, I mean they like his poise a lot, and he's just one of those guys who pounds a strike zone, and that's such a huge part of college baseball. If you throw strikes, you're gonna have a chance, and he's been missing some bats this year too. So I think he's probably the guy.
Well, I think they like you said. I'm not trying to harsh on Stuart Tapley because the guy can really hit. I think it's addition by subtraction as far as not having him at third base, and their defense would be better without having to hide Stuart Tapley somewhere. I love Stephen Cardullo as a really solid college player. I mean, the guy just rakes, and I do think you said. I mean, he's not a pro guy, but he's a really solid college shortstop.
Yeah.
You could do a lot worse than him. And that Florida State team, they have not done anything wrong all year. They pounded Florida midweek. So kudos to Mike Martin and that that coaching staff and that clubhouse. Another ACC team, Aaron, that did very well this weekend against an SEC team was Clemson. And the Florida State-Georgia rivalry is not a huge rivalry, but Clemson-South Carolina is. That's a big-time rivalry. And Clemson gets bragging rights this weekend. And we know that you're high on the Tigers. And they did it this weekend even without Casey Harmon, their Friday guy, really giving them a great start. What's been the key for Clemson this weekend and so far this year, where they were just really pounded South Carolina in the rubber game of that series?
You know, they were deep and they were talented last year, but they were pretty young. I mean, they had a lot of sophomores and freshmen that they were relying on, and those guys have matured now. And I think that's the biggest difference. I mean, this team, I thought they had Omaha talent last year.
Right.
You've got the same talent. It's just more experienced. I mean, that's the biggest difference. They're just so deep. And, when some of their big guys are struggling, they've got lots of other pieces that can step up for them. They've got a lot of power arms on that staff. Even when Harmon struggled, I believe it was David Hafelden who came in and threw four hitless innings of relief.
I
mean, that's a good arm in the bullpen. They've got a lot of those guys, just a lot of different parts they can move around. So it's the depth that stands out with them, and I just think they're a solid club without any real holes.
Yeah, they're really not giving up any runs this year. They're not giving up any hits. I think you're going to be hard-pressed to find a team that's a lot more athletic than they are up the middle, especially. They're quite athletic. Scouts love Brad Miller. I know he might look – he's off to a bad start defensively this year.
But Scouts, right?
Yeah, but scouts love that guy. And to me, the X factor for them is Kyle Parker. And Kyle Parker's an X factor when it comes to the draft. He's their starting quarterback in football, but he's taken the spring off. Guy hit 20 home runs as a freshman, Aaron, when he skipped his senior year in high school, his second semester of his senior year. He graduated early to come in and play football and still hit 20 home runs as a freshman. He swung and missed a lot last year. It was not that productive of a player. He still hit 12 home runs. That guy's off to a big start. If Kyle Parker has a big year, A, he could jump into the first couple rounds of the draft, and B, he's a difference maker because there's just not that many guys in the ACC who've got his kind of power.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. He's the centerpiece of that offense, and you put a professional hitter like Jeff Schaltz around him. And,
exactly.
I mean, Chris Epps is starting to come on a little bit, it looks like, and I mean they've got a lot of power in this lineup. Richie Schaefer and Wilson Boyd, and those guys can hit it out of the park. And John Nestor hasn't even gotten going. He's gone off to a terrible start, but that guy's got some real power as well. So and then Will Lamb, somebody else who's been kind of more concentrating on pitching than hitting. But I mean, just they've got a lot of guys who can hurt you.
Please tell me, though, by their freshman backup catcher's name is pronounced Kaboom.
I think it is.
Spencer Keboom, actually. They have the emphasis on the first syllable. I think the emphasis is on the wrong syllable there. He should be Spencer Keboom, but that's a great name. That's going in the manual name file.
Nice.
The Baseball America podcast. We're getting a little loopy on a Monday with John and Aaron. Aaron, we've talked about the teams that have done well so far. We've focused a little bit more on the positive. A couple conference that's going the wrong direction so far right now is the Big West. And we kind of chuckled last week when we saw Cal State Fullerton drop out of another poll. But now Cal State Fullerton's out of our rankings, Aaron, and the Titans are 4-6. Really struggling. UC Irvine drops down to number 16 as the Anteaters. They do win a weekend series, but they go 2-2 on the week, and they're 6-5 on the year. Well, let's focus on the Big West favorites a little bit right now. I mean, even Long Beach State lost the series at home this weekend to Washington. First off, what's the deal with the Titans?
Boy, that's a good question. I think, first of all, they haven't gotten the kind of pitching that they thought they would get. I mean, especially from Daniel Rankin. That's just been he's just been bad. He hasn't been confident. His stuff hasn't been great. And this week he left his start in the second inning with some back stiffness. So that's the guy who's supposed to be their ace. And without getting a big performance out of him, that hurts them. However, I mean, look, LSU is without its ace, and granted, it's not playing the kind of competition that Fullerton's playing, but they're 11-0. The Titans offensively aren't good enough yet to carry a struggling pitching staff. And, people I talk to in the West Coast, they're just not very physical. They're not nearly as deep and dangerous and explosive as they were last year. And that's even with two All-Americans up the middle, and Gary Brown and Christian Colon. So I think the supporting cast has taken a little step backwards and hasn't really gotten its feet under it yet. And that said, I still think they're gonna be there at the end. I mean, they'll get that thing going. They've just got too much talent not to. But right now, it doesn't look like they're a very good club.
It's really amazing to see a guy like Brown having the kind of year he's having, where he's slugging .826, he's getting on base. He's got 7 steals and 7 tries. But that team has scored, 4.5 runs a game. Cologne is off to a slow start. Tyler Pill hasn't hit for them yet. The guys that you expected to hit for them, Nick Ramirez. And right now they're really missing Jared Clark's just physicality and presence in their lineup. But I think the bigger deal is that they're just not playing Titan baseball. I hate to use the cliche, but I mean, they're not manufacturing runs. They're not skilling it up. They're not getting runs home. And then the thing that Fullerton hasn't done as well in recent years as Irvine, Irvine has been a little more productive offensively, I think, a little bit more, seems like a more consistent offensive team. And Fullerton's struggling with that a little bit again this year. How about the Anteaters? Is that really more just the, a function of the strength of schedule they've faced? I mean, they seem like they're playing fairly well. They're just playing some good teams, and they did travel cross country. What's your take on Zot so far?
Yeah, that's a team I'm not really worried about at all. And again, the people I talked to in the West Coast feel the same way. I think that you lose. We talked about last weekend. You lose two games to a really good coastal team at their place, and it's you're going to have a bad weekend every 2 years or so. I mean, that's just simple. But and this week, I mean, they lost that game to Pepperdine in midweek, which is, one reason we dropped them, because it's a 2-2 week instead of a 2-1 week. They just don't have a lot of pitching depth on this team. I mean, that's not how they're built without a Crosby slot. They've got to use Eric Pettis in kind of a two-way role. And they had to use Kyle Necky, one of their primary bullpen guys, as a starter against Pepperdine, and he pitched pretty well, but they didn't have the guys after him, really. So I think that's the Achilles heel for this team, is they don't have a lot of arms. They do have some guys who've stepped up a little bit. I mean, I like Matt Summers and Nick Hoover in the bullpen. They've been okay. But the lineup hasn't really hit its stride yet either. I think they're, they did score a bunch of runs in those first two games against St. Mary's, but they've been kind of inconsistent. I mean, they were shut out against Pepperdine, and they scored 2 runs in the finale against St. Mary's. So they haven't really, been that incredibly consistent unit that they were last year.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's a dead-on assessment of that team. They're They're still good offensively, but they haven't quite hit their stride. And that pitching depth issue we've talked about, it's just not a huge, deep staff. It's kind of the anti-Clemson. You know, they've got an ace in Bobona, and they've got another stud in Pettis.
Christian Bergman's very good, too, although he hasn't been great this year, if I recall.
Yeah, no, he hasn't been great. So, to me, that's kind of the issue with them. They don't have the depth, but we knew that coming in. So their top guys have got to pitch well. Aaron, you mentioned Coastal Carolina. They've beaten Irvine twice. We've got an email at the podcast at baseballamerica.com email inbox. And the question from Ben Bosian, who's actually a Peace Corps volunteer in Senegal. And he really enjoys the college podcast. Was hoping we'd talk about Coastal Carolina. They moved into the top eight last week after their sweep of Irvine, which, you know, they beat him twice. What are their strengths and weaknesses? And can you give me a few names to look for as for possible major leaguers, Aaron Fitt?
Their strengths, first of all, is they're so athletic and fast. They already have 24 steals and 28 attempts, and they've got some of the fastest guys in the country. Rico Noel, I believe, was a D1 stolen base leader last year, and he's already got 12 this year. And Scott Woodward can run, and Chance Gilmore can run. I mean, they can beat you with their speed more than most teams can. That's there aren't a lot of teams, John, that are really built that way in college baseball. I'm actually a little surprised by it. It seems like it would be an effective technique in a game where offense is kind of at a premium. But give Gary Gilmore and those guys credit for building their team that way. And they've also gotten Jose Iglesias is just a really good senior guy in the middle of the lineup, and Adam Rice hasn't really gotten going, but. And same with Daniel Bowman. I mean, those guys are going to be dangerous. It's a very good, balanced lineup. I don't think it has any real holes. And then you look at the pitching staff, and this is maybe the best pitching staff they've ever had at Coastal. I mean, Cody Wheeler is the best pro prospect on this team, the junior left-hander. Either him or Anthony Mayo, the sophomore righty, both those guys are really good. Mayo's more of a power guy up to 94, and Wheeler has been up to 92. He's got a good breaking ball. I think he probably profiles as a middle reliever, but... But he's got firm stuff. I mean, I think he'll go pretty well, probably the top two or three rounds. And then, Jim Birmingham is the other guy that stands out to me on this staff because he's pitched very well for them. I mean, he's, in two outings. We talked about this last week, on the podcast.
He's been pretty good.
Two games. So that's just that extra piece for them.
He's been quite good, and that really gives them a rotation depth that maybe we didn't even expect them to have. So he's kind of answered a question early on. So. Very impressive start for Coastal Carolina, and that's why you were all over them to start the year. We ranked them 12th in the preseason. You were very high on that club, and so far, so good. Aaron, let's wrap up the podcast by talking about the teams that we brought in. We dropped the Titans. We dropped Georgia. Vanderbilt and Oklahoma come in. What's been the most impressive thing about those two clubs? I guess on the field, you really say Vanderbilt, they only have the one loss, I guess, to UCLA. And to Garrett Cole, no shame in losing to Garrett Cole. Oklahoma starting the year with a sweep of San Diego State, which has been quite good since then. What stands out about the Commodores and the Sooners so far?
Well, with Vanderbilt, first of all, they're pitching. I mean, they've got really good arms. We knew that about them. And even without Jack Armstrong pitching great so far, I mean, he's got about a 5 ERA in only 13 innings here. They still have a 2.21 ERA as a staff. I mean, it's a good pitching staff. It's deep. It's got a bona fide, blue chip guy on Fridays with Sonny Gray, and who bounced back nicely this week after his getting roughed up a little bit by UCLA. That's the strength of this team. But they're hitting pretty well too. They're hitting about .350. Kirk Casale has taken that step forward. He's healthy now from the injury he had last year, although he's still not 100% because I don't think he's catching for them.
That's surprising.
Vito is a good bat. I mean, another Northeast kid. Those hard-nosed Northeast kids that they get, Mike Yastrzemski is another one. He hasn't hit very well, but Reagan Flaherty is another one. I mean, I think those guys give Vanderbilt a little bit of a hard-nosed mentality. I think that helps when you're playing in the cold of New England, John, as I can attest.
I was about to say, are you a hard-nosed New England kid? Is that your excuse?
I think I'm hard-nosed.
Okay. That's what we'll say. We'll track it. We'll chalk it up to that. So, like Andrew Giobbe is another guy who I just think it's nice to have veterans like him and Westlake and guys around. Westlake's playing left field this year. Giobbe's still catching some. They are versatile. They've already had enough experience. They don't have to be at full strength. Same thing in their bullpen. They've got depth. Guys like Hayes, Goodnell, Reed. They have more than one way to beat you at Vanderbilt. And I think that actually suits them better than some of the times in the past where you really, you know, they were very star-oriented. Yeah. Obviously, and then you're going to be star-oriented when you have David Price and Pedro Alvarez, and you shouldn't apologize for being star-oriented, excuse me, when those are your guys.
Those teams also had some depth. I mean, that 07 year when they were number one, I mean, they were loaded. They had a great supporting cast to go with those stars. Those guys just often get overlooked, I think.
Yeah, Ryan Flaherty's an easy guy to forget about, or Dominic De La Osa.
Feinberg at second base was a real fine college player. I mean, they just had a lot of guys that, kind of got lost in the shuffle. But, I mean, you know, I think this team is obviously it's not the 07 team. But they're going to be pretty dangerous, I think, in the second half, especially as those sophomore arms really, come into their own.
Well, the 07 team was definitely on my mind this weekend when you see Alan Oaks out there pitching for Michigan. You think about Vanderbilt. So
how'd Alan look anyway?
He was all right. He was pretty funky, actually. His delivery actually reminded me a little bit of Ryan Dempster. It wasn't as pronounced how Ryan Dempster kind of does that thing with his glove before he comes to the plate.
Yeah.
But Alan Oaks has a little glove side deception movement. And then he threw a lot of breaking balls, but he was fairly effective. He threw a lot of strikes when he had to. He walked six on Friday. But when he needed to make a pitch, he made a pitch. And let's face it, North Carolina is not a big-time offensive club. But Matt Harvey was very good on Friday for North Carolina, and that's what they needed out of – they got what they needed out of Matt Harvey. So a lot of draft talk on the emails with Baseball America this week, and our draft tracker's coming up. So Connor Glassy's all over that, obviously, with all of us contributing. So we'll have some of that talk in three strikes as well on Matt Harvey. So
yeah.
A lot of college – we're getting close here. Next week's really the last – non-conference week of the season for a lot of teams before we really get into the last 10 weeks of the season. But through 3 weeks, a lot of interesting stuff going on. It's fascinating to be 3 weeks into the season and not have Cal State Fullerton in the top 10. I don't think that was expected at all.
That's shocking.
It is shocking. I think that's the biggest news in college baseball this year. And I think the other big news so far actually obviously has been New Mexico,
yeah,
which we didn't rank yet. They went 3-2 this week, but New Mexico, Southern Cal ain't what they used to be. They've lost. They haven't gone to regional seven times in the last 8 years. Usually, New Mexico going on the road to win series at Texas and at Southern California would be bigger news. And them winning at Texas is still big news. But winning at Southern Cal 2 out of 3, frankly, is not. That's a 50-50 series the way things have gone the last couple of years. And just surprising to see the Trojans still down. But not this year. I think last year was the year we thought they would make regionals, and with guys like Boxberger and Green and Robert Stock. And the fact they didn't make it, I think they missed their window of opportunity. So we'll see.
Those guys never went to a regional, right? Those three guys.
They never went to regionals. No.
That's crazy.
That is terrible, frankly, that they never went with those three guys. But
when you got those three guys, all you need to do is fill in with solid guys around them. I mean, you don't need to have a bunch of superstars in addition to those guys. I mean, that's not good.
No, and they had other good players, Tommy Malone. The thing is, Robert Stock never really performed his last 2 years in college.
True.
They just didn't quite put things together. And last year, again, those guys were upperclassmen. The Pac-10 was down. That was their opportunity. Meanwhile, you have UCLA. We will talk about next week more on the podcast. I think we should focus on the Bruins next week because they are off to their best start. I saw the note. I don't remember exactly. It might be their best start since they have records going back as far as first 10 games.
1955
is what it is.
Started, wow. So they best start on record. But, yeah, I mean, we'll talk more about them in three strikes. But, I mean, just one last thought, Sean. Is you mentioned New Mexico, and I think right now they're team 26. I mean, we debated them versus Oklahoma. A 3-2 week just didn't seem like quite the right time to bring in New Mexico.
It's very hard.
Those two losses that aren't great to New Mexico State and to Northern Colorado. Oklahoma's been more consistent this year. They haven't played a great schedule, but they played a pretty good schedule. And sweeping San Diego State looks awfully good right now, just because the Aztecs swept San Diego and got a good win against Kentucky. So that makes Oklahoma look better. And they beat a really struggling South Florida team twice, but a team that we thought was going to be pretty good, a team that does have some talent. So Oklahoma has played pretty well in all facets. I mean, especially those two sophomores, the sons of big leaguers, Garrett Bushell and Cameron Seitzer. Those guys really carry that offense so far. And a lot of their junior college transfers have done a good job on the mound. You know, Bobby Shore, especially he jumps out. So I think Oklahoma is a pretty good club, and Texas A&M for me is in the mix as well. I mean, the Big 12 has a couple of teams that are right there in the mix at the back of the top 25. Kansas too.
Yeah, and that's a conference that we only have one team in the top 25 to start the year.
That's right.
But that league has acquitted itself well in the early going. So I guess Big 12 up, Pac-10 up, ACC up, Big West down right now as your thumbnail sketch at the end of the podcast.
Yeah.
And I did not mention it at the beginning of the podcast, and that's my mistake, but the podcast is brought to you by DeMarini Demo House. And when it comes to buying a baseball bat, DeMarini just changed the game. Introducing Demo House, where you can step into the cage and hit the latest from DeMarini before you buy. Because there's no substitute for hitting a real baseball or talking to people who know both bats and batting. Your demo time in the cage is free. Get the season started right. Visit your nearest demo house today. Locations and full details can be found at demarini.com/demo house. We'll have more on the college weekend on Three Strikes at baseballamerica.com. And you can always email the podcast at podcast@baseballamerica.com. So for Aaron Fitt, thanks for joining us from Texas. Aaron, I'm John Manuel. We'll see you next week on the Baseball America College Podcast. Until then, so long, everybody.